Well, hey, you guys. It's a movie retrospective. And I had actually been wanting to rewatch this movie for a little while because I had kind of like, I think I had low-key forgotten that this was a John Carpenter movie. And it's one of those kind of movies where, I mean, it's not like his best work, I feel like.
It's not bad, though.
But it's better than like some of the other movies that he did in the 1990s. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's better than John Carpenter's Vampires or what was that other one? Ghosts of Mars.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think he actually made those movies.
Well, I mean, this one, I will say that you can tell that this is a movie that, and he will admit this as well, but he's like, well, it wasn't like a passion project of his. It was basically just like a contractual obligation.
Yeah.
But he was kind of excited about doing it because, like I said, I think that they asked him because, you know, he had remade The Thing, like The Thing from Another World, like from the 1950s. And when they were looking to do a remake of the 1960 film, Village of the Damned, which was actually based on an older novel, then they figured, oh, we'll call him up because he did such a good job with The Thing. Which I know, like, The Thing, when it came out, like in the early 1980s, you know, wasn't a big hit or anything, but by the time the 90s had rolled around, I'm pretty sure everybody was on the board, board with the fact that it was a classic. So he was the guy that you called. Yeah. And I think the idea initially for wanting to redo the movie was mainly stemmed from, you know, them remaking Invasion of the Body Snatchers, like, in 1978, and that being really successful. So they were kind of, like, mining all of these films from the old days, to kind of, like, make them and, like, expose them to, like, to a new audience, I guess.
I remember when this came out, my friends were going to see it, and they came back, and they were like, yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. They weren't real enthused about it. It was a mixed response. I guess they, I don't know. It was a good movie. It was okay. It's just that it wasn't, like, over-the-top special effects. It wasn't anything real new. I think it kind of came off as stale to the audience back in those days. But it's not bad. It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
It's a weird flick. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Andromeda Strain meets fucking Invasion of the Body Snatchers. It's kind of like that.
It has a little bit of, and as far as kind of like pacing and stuff goes, and, you know, kind of the cinematography, the way it looks, it kind of reminds me of a little bit of The Fog because they shot it, I think, in the same place. I think basically John Carpenter, one of the reasons he wanted to do this too, was that he shot it, like, pretty much in his hometown, like, where he was living at the time, which was, I don't remember where it was, like, somewhere in Northern California, I think. And he's like, so I thought it was cool that we could shoot it, like, right around my house so I could, like, go home at night and stuff like that. So there you can see, like, a lot of the shots of, like, the landscapes and stuff like that are, like, really, really nice.
I think what blew the movie was the alien in the jar.
Yeah.
I think that's what blew the movie. You eventually see kind of like the reveal, there's an alien in a jar that they have, and it's just obviously a doll. It's obviously a little baby doll or something tricked up. It's just, nah, that wasn't good enough.
It wasn't. And the crazy thing about this is that Nicotero worked on this, Greg Nicotero, like KNB, and some of the special effects, and we'll get into, like, because a lot of them were cut out, but, like, some of the special effects in there, and I'm thinking, this isn't, like, a real gory or graphic movie, but the one shot, like, where the lady burns to death at the end, like, that looks great. That looks, like, really fucked up and gross and everything like that. But I don't know if they built that alien, because, it almost looks like a stock thing that you'd buy at, like, a Halloween store.
Yeah, it looked like a Cabbage Patch.
For, like, $25.
It looked like a Cabbage Patch doll they dressed up or something like that.
It did kind of.
Garbage Pail Kid. Something like that.
And the alien Cabbage Patch doll.
Yeah, and this was in a time when Alien and Aliens had already been out. Of course, Predator had already been out. You had to have a realistic-looking alien, and it had to be innovative. It had to convince you that it was a living creature. This is definitely not a damn living creature thing. It's just a fucking corny ass little doll. And I think that blew the movie. If you ask me, that blew the movie. And the whole movie was knocked down to, you could not suspend your disbelief. You're like, okay, they're trolling us. That's just what it came off to me.
And like I said, it's really a shame because they did have, like, some of the special effects in this that you can see look really good.
Yeah.
And they did, like, a lot of really big stunts, like big car explosions and shit like that, like all practical. But I'm really not sure, like, why that looks so cheap. When the rest of it looks, like, you know, pretty decent.
Imagine an Aliens when they go to Hadley's Hope, all right, and they find the xenomorph facehuggers in those jars, and imagine if they just looked like shit. Imagine if they just sucked. You'd be like, man, fuck this movie. You know, well that's what this did. You're like, no. It reminded me. I remember they had this toy when I was getting off Stretch Armstrong. And it was this guy, you could stretch him out. And he had a villain that went with him. He looked like a little creature from the Black Lagoon who's green, but he could do the same thing. He could stretch.
Yeah, I had that one. It looked like that.
Look at this, man. I got the damn microphone.
You're the one that did that, not me.
I didn't do that. It's in my face. Look.
It's in my face.
It's in my face. How'd that shit happen?
Well, we were adjusting it earlier because when we did the live stream last night, like somebody was talking about how Tom was like too quiet.
Yeah.
So then you were like pulling it all that. Around.
Yeah. You can't have me being quiet.
No. I find that really hard to believe because you're always yelling, but it's like.
Can't have me being quiet. People complaining about it, man. So that bald motherfucker to shut up. But no, I think that's the problem with the movie. I think the problem with the whole movie stems around because it was doing good until I saw that, and I was like, that shouldn't be in this movie.
I was like watching another review of this, and somebody made, and I'm not sure if this is a joke because I don't like remember, but somebody said it looked like the same alien that was from like the opening credits of the X-Files. And I was like, I haven't seen the opening credits for the X-Files in a long time, so it might very well be the same one. Maybe they just had, like, a stock prop that they used that was, like, laying around. Because it was kind of like the last... I don't know. It's, you know what I mean? I don't know. But it does seem like... That's really the main thing that I had. Just that alien looking bad. I didn't love Kirstie Alley in it. And I know that that's... I mean, that I don't know if that's a controversial statement, but I have seen, like, some reviews... So, like, some reviews really, really hated her in it, and some reviews really, really liked her in it.
I didn't see a problem.
She... I don't know what it was about her. She came across... one, it got to be, like, a drinking game where it was just kind of like... Because she's smoking in every single scene. And I guess that was, like, part of her character, but it's just, like, after a while, it got kind of, like, comical. I didn't, like... She just came across a little bit too... cynical and a little bit too like snarky and a little bit, I don't know, I just wasn't feeling it. I didn't hate her in it, but I kind of wish that someone else had been in that role, but it wasn't like a huge deal. It didn't like ruin the movie for me or anything like that. And to be honest, I think I had forgotten too, like what a big, again, it's kind of like an all-star cast, man. Like you had, you know, Christopher Reeve, obviously, like most famously was in this. This was the last movie that he was in before his horse riding accident. Like, you know, before he, before
tragic
his injuries.
Accident.
Yeah. That was like, that's like so shitty.
Dude died thinking stem cells were going to save him back in those days.
That's what I mean. And it's like, and it's like just really sad.
Everybody was
happened.
Fucked up about it. I mean, that was Superman.
Yeah.
You know. And I saw when that accident happened, him flying off the back of that horse hitting that fence. Man, they played that over and over again. Having the horse background, I knew exactly what happened. That wasn't on him. That horse horse just refused at the jump. And fucking, he went over the top of it in the middle of a show. His head hit that damn fence and broke his neck. Never walked again.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
And like I said, this was the last movie because I think this movie came out the same year, because I think the accident was in 1995, like in May or something like that. And and this came out like right around that time, or maybe a little bit before, a little bit after.
I think he was paralyzed from the neck down, if I remember.
Yeah, wasn't he? Yeah, I think he was quadriplegic, which is that's fucking tough. But yeah, so actually I really liked him in this. You know, he plays like the town doctor. And he's kind of like, this is kind of like an ensemble cast, but he's kind of like the main character, I feel like. You know, because he's the one that interacts with the kids the most, and he's, you know, the one that's kind of like in everybody's business because he's the doctor. So, I don't know, okay, so I think most people know, but this was actually based on a 1957 novel by John Wyndham, who is the same guy who also wrote Day of the Triffids. He was, like, a British author. I read the book, but it was so long ago that I don't really remember, like, how similar it was to the movie. But they made a, you know, a black and white version of this, like, in 1960, which is actually pretty good. It's not, like, real scary or anything. It's just kind of very Twilight Zone-y episode, which, you know, nothing wrong with that. But the thing about it, and one of the reasons they said that they wanted to remake it, like, in the 90s, was that they said, you know, one of the biggest plot points in the movie revolves around all of the... you know, all of the people in this town essentially, like, blacking out, and then, like, when they wake up however many hours later, like, all the women are pregnant. And they said back in 1960, you couldn't even say the word pregnant in a movie, So it's like they couldn't even explore that aspect of the plot, like all these women being pregnant, them like considering getting abortions and stuff like that. But they could talk about that in the 90s. So they're like, we can at least delve further into that aspect of the plot, whereas they couldn't even do that in the 60s.
It's ridiculous. You couldn't say pregnant in the 60s?
No. I don't even remember, like, the first movie. I feel like that's something.
Why couldn't you say pregnant in the 60s?
Because it would make people think about wombs and vaginas, what? I guess. What? I don't know. You couldn't show a toilet in there. Do you remember, like, when Psycho came out in 1960, everybody kind of, like, lost their shit because it showed, like, a toilet, like, in a bathroom, like, in the shower scene, you know what I mean? Which, like, it's a ridiculous...
People are fucking crazy back then.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And like I said, like, everybody knows how pregnancy works, you know what I mean? So it's like, why...
And you talk about animals getting pregnant, and that's just crazy.
Yeah, so they had to have, like, all these euphemisms and stuff. So it's like the fact that they couldn't, I mean, you know, they couldn't even say the word pregnant.
They couldn't say the word pregnant, but they could use a euphemism for it.
Right. Like, I don't understand it either. I don't understand it either. But I'm just saying that it's like, so a very large aspect of the plot, like all of these women being implanted by essentially like an alien intelligence, all at the same time, they couldn't even really like explore that in the movie. I can't even remember, because I've seen the original movie too, but it's been a long time. So I don't even remember like how they explained that. Like, did they just kind of like talk around it? Because in this version, in the 1995 version, you know, they show all the women waking up and then like, you know, them getting told they're pregnant, and then some of them being like, how the fuck can I be pregnant? Because one of the younger girls was like a virgin, and like one of the women, like her husband was out of the country, and so he thought she was cheating on him and all this other kind of stuff. And so then, like, it's just kind of like, and then they kind of show them all being pregnant, and then, like, they jump ahead to them all giving birth, because they all give birth at the same time, so they have to, like, set up this big, like, converted barn so they can all, like, give birth in there, which I thought was kind of, like, funny. But, yeah, so after that happens, I mean, like I said, I kind of feel like most people know the story of this, but, like, all the kids are born, and then they spend a little bit of time with them, like, as they're kind of, like, babies or toddlers, kind of. And obviously, they're all born at the same time. They all look the same, and they all come across, like, hyper-intelligent. And then it kind of, like, jumps ahead several years, it looks like, because all the kids are... How old do they look? Probably, like, 7, 8, 9, something like that.
Yeah, 9 or 10, maybe.
Yeah, so they jump ahead, like, several years, and at that point, like, it's obvious that there's something, like, really weird about these kids, because they're all kind of, like, a hive mind, and they can also, like, read your thoughts, and...
They have mind powers.
And they can, like, make you do things, you know, they can talk you into shit, and so, like, if any...
Make you kill yourself.
Yeah, so, like, if anybody threatens them, because, like, the one kid, well, like, when she's a baby... The Christopher Reeve's wife, like the woman that's in, like, that plays his wife, when their daughter, whose name is Mara, who comes across, like, later as, like, the leader of the little children, I don't exactly know, because usually what happens is, like, if anybody threatens the kids or, like, says some sideways shit about the kids, then the kids, like, their eyes will start to grow and they're like, oh no, and they're like, woo, like that, and then, like, the person's like, oh, I think I'd like to, like, you know, chop my head off with an axe or whatever it is. But, I don't think the mom did anything specifically. Like, the little girl was just in... Oh, you know what? You know what it was? I think she gave her something to eat that she didn't like. Mm. Like, she gave her, like, some applesauce or soup or something. Like, yeah, that's what it was. She gave her some soup, and then she said, oh, is the soup too hot? Because the kid, like, threw it off the thing. Mm. And then the kid, like, was like, whoa, like, looked at her, and, like, she, like, stick your arm in, like, the boiling...
Yeah, she boiled her own hand.
She boiled her own hand. So, yeah, I had forgotten about that, like, where the kid got mad about the soup. Because she was, like, still a baby at that point.
Yeah, they take over the town, basically. And they got the people basically as their servants. They're aliens.
Yeah.
Aliens in human bodies.
The book, the original book is called The Midwich Cuckoos, which, like I said, you know, a cuckoo bird, like, as you know, comes and lays its eggs in other birds' nests, like other species, and then, like, it's born and kicks out the other birds' things. Same kind of, that's the same thing as vivarium, you know what I mean? Yeah. That was kind of the same iconography they were using in that. So it's that same type of thing. And now there's one kid whose name is David, and his mom is played by Linda Kozlowski, who was in Crocodile Dundee. I think she was in all the Crocodile Dundee movies. That's where I recognized her from. And so her son, he's, like, the only one that kind of seems halfway normal or has, like, human characteristics. And they explain that it's because when all the Children of the Damned, that's actually what the sequel was called, Children of the Damned. But when all the children were born, like one of them that was birthed by the girl that was a virgin, that one died. And that was the one that was supposed to be paired off with David, because that's another weird thing, is that all the kids have a counterpart, you know what I mean? So they all walk around in, like, little couples, and I guess the implication, they don't say this, but I guess the implication is that they can't be a complete being unless there's both of them, you know what I mean? So because David didn't have his counterpart because that baby died, then he is not, like, in the hive mind as much as the other ones, because he's still able to feel empathy, or he's still able to, like, understand, you know, when his mom, like, explains stuff to him, and he kind of feels bad about things, whereas the other kids are just, like, straight sociopaths, you know what I'm saying? So I thought that was kind of, like, an interesting dynamic, too, and that's because he was the only one that was a little bit more like a regular kid, they didn't really want to wipe out him at the end, you know what I mean, because he had the potential to be normal. Although they left the end ambiguous as to whether, you know, after he got saved, because, you know, spoiler alert, Christopher Reeve blows up all the other kids. So you're gonna get kids blown up.
That wasn't the only place. There were colonies of them all over the earth.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. So it wouldn't really have made a difference.
No, they were taking over the earth.
Just very, very slowly. It seemed
that's
like...
how you do it.
Well, yeah, it seemed like they were almost kind of, like, experimenting, because didn't they say, because at some point, like, Kirstie Alley, she comes into town, like, after the weird anomaly happens with everybody falling asleep and then waking up and all the women being pregnant, like, she comes there as she works for, she's, like, a doctor, but she's, like, an epidemiologist, so she's, like, you know, working for the feds or, like, National Institutes of Health or whatever, and so she comes there, and they, you find out later on that this same thing has happened in other places, and it always happens in, like, these really small, isolated towns, yeah. So it's almost like the aliens are, like, doing test runs and, like, seeing how shit's gonna work
it's
out.
Colonization.
Right, that's, like, what they're doing.
You can't do that in a major city because they'd have the city would have the organization and the organizational faculties to kill the kids.
Yeah.
If you do it in a little town, you can take over that little town. Once they're adults, they move out to the rest of the population. They got mental dominance over people.
Yeah, they can take over the damn planet. They can make you do
anything. This is how you would do it. If you were an invasive species trying to invade Earth, the first thing you'd have to do is you'd need a human body, because you have to have the biology necessary in order to integrate in with the ecosystem. So if you're an alien, you're probably not going to be able to breathe the atmosphere. You're not going to be able to do a bunch of stuff. So you have to steal bodies, and that's what they did. They kind of, like, I guess they took their DNA and maybe their souls, per se. I don't know, you know, with fucking quantum physics. And they impregnate themselves into the females and come out with a human body. So they're fully adapted. It's fully adapted to living on the planet. But then they're a hive mind. With that type of mental powers that they're shown having here, they'd easily take over the planet. The only thing that was wrong with them that I would say was not a good strategy is that they all have the same hair color.
Yeah, they and it's a very weird, like, unusual. Weird, it was white.
White. And that would be a giveaway. It'd be better if they were camouflaged where you couldn't tell them from a normal human.
Maybe when they got older, they'd start, like, dying there. Yeah. So they could, like...
Right.
Because maybe that was, like, the one aspect of that they couldn't control because of, like, some kind of genetic anomaly or something.
They'd just spread out and get into politics and take over the governments. That's what they would do. And then they'd be in charge of everything. Then they'd kill off the population and replace everybody with themselves.
Because they knew what everybody was thinking. Yeah. That's why it was so difficult for, you know, them to... Because everybody just got... It was almost kind of like that Twilight Zone episode with the kid that could, like, wish people into the cornfield and, like, kind of knew what you... They were like that, and they were super powerful, and they could... All they had to do was know, it's like, hey, you're thinking about fucking us over, and then it's like, hey, put that shotgun in your mouth and, like, blow your... Which is what happens to... Mark Hamill is in this, by the way, like, playing a priest. It's not a huge role, but he's in it. And that's what they make him do, because he actually, like, goes rogue, and he's like, I'm gonna shoot these little motherfuckers. I mean, understandably, but they make him shoot his own head off.
It makes sense why they got Carpenter to do this, because the thing is the same situation.
Yeah.
You got an invasive species take... And the thing could have taken over the planet. That was it. If the thing got out, that's a wrap. You couldn't fight that.
That's what I said. I always say that's the scariest monster. That's it, right. Like, if that was real, we would be hosed.
This would be similar. If it was done the way, you probably couldn't stop that.
No.
The xenomorphs from Aliens, you could stop that. You could fight those, because those couldn't hide. And you could deal with those with force. You really couldn't use force against these things, because you'd have to find them, and they would blend in.
Yeah.
And they would be human. until they told you what
until
to do.
Until they weren't.
So it was because the thing could be whatever it wanted, so that was even worse. And it could spread fast. It wouldn't have to kill off the human population. It would just absorb them, you know, which that's even worse.
Yeah.
Kind of like a biological version of the Borg from Star Trek. Like
yeah, that. They were very Borg-like. Yeah. And then this is very... I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, there was a lot of this kind of stuff going on in sci-fi, like, in the 50s, where you had a story like this. You also had, like, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, you know, that kind of stuff, which was actually, like, a novel. I think, when did the novel come out? I think Jack Finney wrote it. And I think that came out in the 50s, too. But it was just very much kind of like an individual versus collective type of thing. That was, like, very much in the air in the 50s. So a lot of sci-fi was based around that idea. And it's very much... This is kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Except, you know, in
they're not stealing bodies. They're making them from scratch.
They look like people, but they are, and they're born of people, but they're obviously not. Because there's one scene toward the end where the little girl, Mara, she's kind of like trying to use all of her like mental powers, and you for a second, like when her eyes like start glowing red and everything, you see like the alien underneath, like what she really looks like beneath, and. It's not like a great effect, but it's weird because the way they did it, I saw like a clip of Greg Nicotero like talking about it, and they actually built like an alien head that like moved around and all this other stuff. And I guess that they shot it like moving the same way as the little girl's face, and then they superimposed it over and like did a negative so it would like looked red. It looks kind of cool, but I mean it looks very 90s, so it's like a little bit cheesy.
Now, the little baby alien that they had in the jar, what was that supposed to represent? Was that like a new queen?
That was the baby that had died.
Okay.
That Kirstie Alley stole. Because remember when all the babies were being born at the beginning?
Okay.
Like Kirstie Alley like grabbed the one virgin girl's baby and said, "Oh, it's stillborn," and then she ran out and stuck it in her truck.
Okay, so it was a stillborn baby.
So it was a stillborn baby. So she didn't want anybody to see it. She was like really sneaky. So she took it back to the lab, and I guess they'd been experimenting on it all this time. But that's what that was.
If they were gonna show that stillborn baby, it shouldn't have looked anything like what they showed. It shouldn't have looked like that.
I mean, they could have, like, shot it. They could have shot it in the dark. They could have shot it from the back. They could have... I mean, even if they were forced to use that special effect, there's ways they could have lit it or something like that would have looked better.
I would have made it look like a curled up baby grasshopper or something. You know what I mean? Something that's just not human at all. Like, something that would turn into a human shape eventually, but cross between a human and a... How you see those like big old water bugs sometimes floating in a damn jars of formaldehyde in school, something like that. That's what it should have looked like. I'd have just got a damn water bug, put it in there.
That's the thing though, but it's like here's what I didn't get, unless I totally missed this. I assumed, and I just said this like, you know, very authoritatively, and I could be totally wrong. I thought that alien baby in the jar, like I said, was the baby that had died that Kirstie Alley stole. But the thing about it was that if the babies all looked like that, because she said it was dead. Now, I don't know if they are implying that the baby wasn't dead, that she took it and it was still alive. She's like, oh, sorry, your baby's dead. And then she took it and then she kept it alive for a little while until it started looking like an alien. But see, there was like tons and tons of other doctors and people and shit like that there when all the other babies were born. Notice that gesture.
Yeah,
They didn't look like that. Like they presumably looked normal they did look normal because they showed them putting the babies on like, and they looked like normal human babies.
Right.
So maybe I just figured this out like right this second, because I did think that Kirstie Alley, that's not her character's name, obviously, but it's Kirstie Alley. I did think that Kirstie Alley was being like super shifty, like the way she pulled it out the girl's vag and she's like, oh, I'm sorry, it's stillborn. And I was like, that bitch lying, that baby's not dead. So, and then she like runs out to the fence, like stuffs it in the car. And I was just kind of like, did she lie about it being dead? But then like later on when they, you know, at the very end, you see that the crappy looking alien baby in the jar. And I was like, oh, maybe it was dead. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, well,
it must have been alive.
It must have been alive. And she must have kept it alive for some time.
And when it died, it transformed into that?
Or as it grew. Because like I said, it had been a long time. Like she took the babies. And then like back in Midwich in the town, it had been what, like 9 or 10 years? Because the kids were grown. Unless they grew super fast, but nobody said anything about that.
I think it was a fuck up.
Maybe
what it was, they didn't think it through. If it was born like all the rest of them, and that was born stillborn, well, maybe it was stillborn, it was fucked up.
Because so it still looked like an alien like instead an alien. Of a human, it was a mistake.
It was a mistake.
Okay, maybe that.
That's
okay,
what it was.
All right, fair enough.
It's the only way that could have been.
That was it.
Like
but
that.
If that was a baby, that was a big ass baby.
That it was stillborn and it didn't work. Whatever it was, and you could see that
it didn't
kinda,
take.
It
you
didn't
could
take.
See that it was an alien.
You could see that it was an alien.
All right, that makes more sense. Only, now that you mentioned.
Yeah,
that.
It's probably the only thing that it could have been.
Okay, plot hole averted.
Yeah.
I was kind of worried about it,
but it didn't look good enough.
It didn't. Like I said, if you were going to show it,
yeah.
Show like the revelation, oh my God, they're aliens, even though you already knew that it was aliens.
It looked better as if it was a damn mass of tentacles. You just make the thing out of a real octopus. That would have looked
yeah,
great.
Yeah, they could have just like went to a lab and like used like a squid or something.
And, yeah, and made it and had that floating in there. That would have looked a lot better.
Although maybe then it wouldn't have been as obvious that it was supposed to be the baby. Like it would have had to be human-y,
well,
human-y
you had
looking.
To put that face, that alien face on it, or put human body parts like little baby arms coming out of it. It's got tentacles out the bottom.
Tentacles and little baby arms.
We would have come up if I was on that movie. We would have come up with something.
I'm just curious to know if, you know, if Nicotero and his team did that, because they usually do like amazing work. And honestly, the other effects in this that you can see, I think Nicotero was really disappointed because the bit of, the interview with him that I saw was like, we did all these really cool effects. Like there's scene toward the end, again, spoiler alert, where Kirstie Alley, they basically make her like autopsy herself, right? She sticks the scalpel like in her stomach and pulls it up. And it's like, it's all implied. They don't show it. And I got the sense that they actually did do the gruesome effects for that. But it all got cut out, which is dumb because this was a Universal film, and they knew that it was going to be an R rating. But then it seemed like they cut out a lot of the like gruesome special effects because this movie is like not.
Maybe there's a director's cut.
Maybe not. Not that I know of. I was watching a couple. Like I watched a review earlier of like somebody that had got like the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And they didn't mention that there was like a director's cut on it. Like I said, I don't think that John Carpenter, because this wasn't like a passion project of his, it was just a contractual thing. Like he doesn't hate this movie. He's like, you know, he was just kind of like, well, it didn't work out the way he wanted or blah, blah, blah. And they cut a lot of it out. And him and Christopher Reeve, I think they kind of like butted heads a little bit on the set as well, even though I think it worked out later in the end. But I think it didn't come out quite the way he wanted. So he was just like, fuck it. Because it wasn't really like his movie, but I don't know. I think he's a little more charitable toward it nowadays, but it does seem like a lot of it was cut out. You know what I mean? Like a lot of the gross stuff. It's violent in the sense that, you know, people like die in like horrible ways, but a lot of it is not shown or it's just like implied. So it seemed like a lot of it was trimmed out. Like, you know, that it was like a lot grosser or more graphic and like it got kind of, you know, it got kind of like cut up a little bit. I just got that sense from it. And that's just from listening to Greg Nicotero talk about it and listening to the woman that played Christopher Reeve's wife in it. You know, she's like, when we saw the movie, she's like, you know, where is it? Like, because a lot of it got cut out. So I guess a lot of it did get cut out. I'm not really sure why.
It sucks. It was probably great.
Yeah. I mean, like yeah.
It's got to be out there. Maybe they'll re-release it or something with the shit that they cut out. Somebody's got to have the footage.
Yeah, you would think.
It's probably out there.
You would think.
I'm sure some studio probably has it.
Because, like I said, you know, there's one scene where, you know, you have, like, much like in Frankenstein, you have, like, all the torch-wielding villagers that come to, like, we're gonna fuck up those kids, those goddamn kids. And they all have torches and stuff, which is actually, like, kind of funny. But, like, the main lady that has the torch, and then, you know, of course, the kids are standing there and make her set her own ass on fire. And then, like, they show her burned-up corpse, like, at the end, and that looks fantastic. That looks, like, really grotesque, and they did a really good job. It looks really realistic. And so I kind of feel like I would have liked to have seen more of that. I would have liked this to be, like, more gruesome, because, like I said, a lot of people, holy shit, that one scene toward the end where, like, the cops come there, and then the kids, like, make all the cops turn on each other, and there's, like, a huge... This is a huge clusterfuck where all these cops are like hitting each other's cars, the cars are blowing up, they're fucking blowing each other away and all this other kind of stuff. And I just kind of feel like, you know, they should have done more of that, I feel like.
I got a feeling that this movie might grow on you if you've watched it a couple times.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, I think so too. I've seen it a couple times. This is probably the third time I've seen it, although I haven't seen it. Last time I saw it was like a really long time ago.
This is the first time I've seen it. I saw little bits of it over the years and it never really caught my it never really could keep my attention. I was probably doing other things. I think I was in the Army when this came out. What year did this come out?
95.
Yeah, no, I'd been out of the Army. So, but I remember seeing bits of it, parts of it I recognized, but I'd never seen it. I'd never seen it completely.
Yeah.
And even watching it this time, I had to step out a couple minutes and get back in because I had shit I had to do downstairs. But I'd like to see it again. It's a good movie. I want to say it's not a bad movie, but that's actually not doing it justice. It's a good movie.
It's worth watching.
It's a good movie. It's not perfect, but no movie really is. I want to see it again. It was reminding me of a cross between the Andromeda Strain and Body Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and a little bit like The Thing, kinda, but mostly Invasion of the Body Snatchers. But it kind of felt like a disaster flick in the beginning of it. They're finding all these sleeping people everywhere, and they're finding the boundaries of it, that it's not gas, it must be some kind of an energy field that's doing this. I thought that was fucking interesting.
And I really liked that build-up. I think the build-up is better than the reveal, because you already know it's aliens, you already kind of know what's gonna... So, like, the build-up and the mystery around that, I think, is, like, the best part.
Building up the mystery of what the hell's happening, and that part kind of reminded me of the Andromeda Strain.
Yeah.
Where you're not really sure exactly what's happening. You know it has something to do with aliens.
But everyone's just laying around, and, like, just... And then suddenly everybody gets up, and they're fine. Well, except for that one guy that fell on the grill and got burned to death.
Then it starts becoming kind of like a little bit like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and kind of like a plague movie in a way. And then it's an alien invasion movie. You know, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I want to see it again.
They're invading our wombs.
Yeah.
Damn it. I think
it could grow on me.
Yeah.
I think the movie could grow on me.
Like I said, it's not one of Carpenter's best, obviously. Yeah. But, you know... But I think it's better than some of his other movies that came out in the 90s. I am going to say that. I do wish it was creepier. I wish that I didn't get the sense that a lot of it was cut out. Particularly, I feel like there was a lot of gore and stuff like that was cut out. And I kind of wish that they had put that back in. I wish they had shot a little bit more of it at night. So it was a bit creepier.
It looks creepier, right.
I will say, too, like, I thought the kid actors were fine.
Yeah.
Some of them were better than others. I think the kids were creepier when they were babies, though.
And
like, once they got a little bit older and started talking, I don't think they were quite as creepy anymore.
Some of those wigs, the haircuts of those wigs, I don't think were any good. Like, that one girl's haircut was kind of weird. Like, it was the time.
The weird thing about that is I don't think those were wigs. I think that they actually did all their hair like that. Because they said... I was watching like a review about it earlier, and they said that the people, like the crew that did all the kids' hair... Like, and they bleached it and everything. They said they spent all this time, like, bleaching all these kids' hair and styling it, like, to make it look a little bit weird and a little bit alien and stuff. And then they said, and then all the reviews came out and, like, complained about how shitty the wigs were. There's, like, they weren't wigs. That's their hair. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I've heard.
I didn't think the cuts were...
They did look like wigs, though, I have to say.
The cuts on some of the girls didn't look that good.
Yeah.
It would have been better if they were just straight, parted in the middle, and it would look a lot cooler.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why they... Because it looked a little bit like that Dorothy Hamill thing that was going on, like, in the 70s. That weird, like, cup, like, put those pudding cup kind of bangs or whatever.
It should have been kind of sleek and sophisticated, just straight hair parted in the middle, and the boys just should have had the damn fucking side comb, fucking 1950s looking real kind of military.
Yeah.
Military officer type.
What do they
haircut.
Call that, like a high and tight or something?
Come like a little bit like a high and tight. And it would have been like the kids demanded those. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like we all have to have the same.
They all have to have the same haircut. And it's the girls all the same, the boys all the same.
Yeah, I think it would have looked better. Like with the girls just kind of like straight, like parted in the middle. Like this hair.
Yeah.
Because it would look like no fuss.
You're right.
You know what I mean? And it wouldn't like draw attention to itself.
And if their hair was born perfectly straight anyway, you didn't have to do anything to it except cut the ends.
Yeah.
And it was fucking platinum, you know, white, albino colored, you know. And that's the way it came, and that's how they rolled, and that you weren't messing with their hair. And then the boys were all ready for combat. And that would have made a lot more sense to me, that they were an alien unit, basically. And an alien invasion unit.
Yeah. Because they would go around, like, in pairs, like in little...
Like they were a little military
unit. Like
units.
A little military unit. They always went everywhere together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I
so,
think
yeah,
that
that's
made
a good
a lot
idea.
More sense.
That's a good idea, actually. Yeah. This could be remade.
Yeah.
You could make this actually, like, pretty creepy, because creepy kids are always creepy, but you'd really need, like you said, you'd really need some creepy-ass children.
And you could put it into modern day, with the internet and cell phones and everything, and it makes sense because they just dominate you through a damn cell phone or the internet.
Yeah, that's another thing. They could actually, like, make videos and, like, get, like, everybody that watched it, they could get them to do, like, all kind of shit, too.
Right, and then they were going to...
So it would be much faster.
They were controlling...
Takeover.
Controlling governments and controlling corporations and shit like that, and to expanding their power that way. Taking over, you know, fucking Elon Musk and all the other oligarchs, and they're under their control, you know what I mean? And that would be a lot. It would be like something out of Black Mirror. And then you'd have people trying to resist that.
Yeah, you hear that, you guys? That's that would be a good idea.
That's how I would do Village of the Damned. And they would grow to adulthood or early adulthood, and they're because actually they had the power that as soon as they're teenagers they'd be able to fucking take over because they were damn near taking over when they're about 10.
Yeah. So well, yeah, because like I said, they were smarter and they could read all your thoughts.
Yeah.
The only way, although I will say the only way to defeat them, and this was the same as the original movie, is that Christopher Reeve figured out that if you thought of something that was, like, all-encompassing, like an ocean or, like, a brick wall or something like that, it was much harder for them to, like, penetrate. So you'd have to, like, learn how to, like, block them from reading your thoughts.
You could make a good story because then you'd have resistance units of humans that learn to resist them, walling off their thoughts, playing cards in their heads, anything to kind of throw them off and assassinating them. That'd make a great movie. That'd be a great series.
It would, actually. Yeah. And I was watching another review earlier where they said that maybe that this would probably have been a better series because, like, in the vein of Stephen King, because it's such an ensemble and it's set in one town, even though it's a small town, it's like it would have been cool if you'd have been able to spend more time with the people in the town. And also you could follow it through because, like I said, you know, you have the thing at the beginning where everybody falls asleep and they get pregnant. Then it kind of jumps ahead to... the women giving birth, and then it's like there's kind of a short period of time where they're like babies or toddlers, and then it jumps ahead like 9 years or whatever it is when the kids are like kind of, you know, partway grown. So it would be cool if you could just kind of like follow shit, because I found myself thinking, like, once they jumped ahead like to the kids being older, I was like, well, what was going on all that time that we didn't see? You know what I mean?
Well, what you could do is you can make this a, make this like a series off one of the streaming services, and it would be kind of like a the series V. Remember the old 80s series V, where a bunch of lizard people in skin suits subtly kind of, in public, take over the planet, but they seem friendly at first. They take over all the governments and the corporate. You do it like that, but it's Village of the Damned. And it starts with their kids and the village thing, and then eventually they're growing older, and then they're taking over, and they're linking up all the fucking colonies all over the planet, are linking up with each other. You got scientists that understand, we've been fucking impregnated with alien DNA, and all that. You could, it would be badass.
I mean, shit, you could do, I mean, that's three seasons right there.
Yeah, and then you could have shit where certain militaries are trying to respond, and part of the military is trying to kill the alien children, and then the other part of the militaries are trying to defend them because they're all
controlled.
They're all controlled. Right. So there's all kinds of cool shit you could do. You wouldn't be able to trust people.
Yeah, see, it'd be a great idea. Like I said, this definitely needs, because the story behind it is, it's such a great premise.
Yeah.
But it really needs like a lot more room to expand. Yeah. Like maybe just than one movie.
And then you could have some of the alien kids in the hive mind, some of them are rebels and don't really agree with what's happening. Like you said in this story. Yeah, some of them were like, you know, we really shouldn't be taken over this way. That type of shit.
Yeah, have some like I said, just like in this one, like if, you know, because obviously something's going to go wrong somewhere. So if their partner dies, like in childbirth, then that, then they'll be like kind of like not as integrated as the other aliens and they'll be more sympathetic to the humans.
Yes, so there's more than one faction of aliens.
Right.
That'd be cool too, because if you didn't have some of those aliens helping the humans would get defeated.
We'd be fucked.
So you'd need a, you need a way to where some of the aliens are supporting the human endeavors for to stay independent or whatever. But no, I could make a great series, especially if I had some other people writing with us. We could come up with some crazy shit. Be good.
Yeah, like I said, and you could use, you know, John Wyndham's novel and like kind of, you know, make nods to the movies. But
call it Planet of the Damned. Not Village of the Damned, Planet of the Damned. That's what I'd call that shit. You'd have a Mega Man thrown in there and everything.
Like I said, you could have, like, through the first season could just be about, you know, everybody passing out and the pregnancies. You could follow the pregnancies. You could do a whole season just about that. And then you could have, like, the babies born at the end of the first season. And then the second one, you have the kids kind of, like, getting, like, being toddlers and getting older and have them, like, infiltrating, like, just this town.
Yeah.
And then, like, as the series went on, like, it gets bigger and bigger and, like, starts kind of, like, exacerbating, metastasizing.
Cross between like V and The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
Or, you know, what's it called? Planet Z. No, it was the one where where the zombies were taking over the fucking planet. Something Z.
World War Z. World War Z.
Kind of like that. Village of the Damned. World War Z altogether. Because you'd have some of the humans would be fucking hijacked. They'd be fighting you. It'd be good if you did it right.
Yeah, I can picture it. I can picture it.
Yeah,
I think it would be good. But, you know, we'll see. I'm sure they'll get around to it one of these days. Because it sounds like the same kind of stuff that people are making.
Yeah.
You know, that people are, like, really into nowadays. So I do feel
might
like
be that. Able to come up with something like that and not even need the licensing, just to all of fucking an original thing. And call it
I mean, as long as you changed it enough.
Yeah, don't call it Village of the Damned. Call it Planet of the Damned and change certain things about it. And it's not quite the same story. It's happening in a different town. It's a different group of people. Different shit happens, you know. But it's in that same universe. You just kind of don't say that. It's just allude to that it's in that same universe.
The original Village of the Damned from 1960, I'm pretty sure it had at least one sequel, because I think the sequel was called Children of the Damned, which I think I've seen that too, but I can't really remember what happened in it.
That explains fucking that Iron Maiden song, Children of the Damned.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably what they're talking about.
That's what it was. But it's like, I'm not sure what happened in the sequel because... You know, maybe it was about that one kid that they said, oh, he's kind of like, he seems like he's okay, so we're going to save him. Because, like I said, at the end of this movie, like, Christopher Reeve, like, puts the brick wall in his mind and then blows up all the other kids.
Yeah.
Along with himself, which I was like, well, did he really have to do that, though? I mean, he could have just put the bomb, like, on the outside of the barn and then come in and said, hey, you guys, like, why don't you just, like, sit here in this classroom here for a little while, and I'm just going to pop out to the car, and then blam. Like, he didn't have to sacrifice himself, I would imagine.
Look at Boogie.
What she's doing?
No,
what's she doing?
She crashed out. She heard you move. She crashed out inside her pile of toys.
She's got in her toy pile, and she's like...
Well, I guess that's about all I can say about this, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, like I said, if you're into John Carpenter, it's worth watching. It's better than some of his other stuff. But I feel like it got shit on quite a bit, and it was a horrible financial failure
at
the time.
It's upper middle tier for
but, you know, it's definitely worth watching. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that I actually really liked about it. I just kind of wish that it hadn't been, you know, it seems like it's got cut up a little bit, which is a shame, because it was probably, like, some good effects work and shit like that. But, yeah, that'll do it for this movie retrospective. We'll see you guys again on the next one. Bye.